and that is the revised waste discharge requirements for Pacific Gas and Electric Hinkley Compressor Station, San Bernardino County.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, board members, staff, and members of the public. My name is Brianna Bergen, and I'm an engineering geologist with our Victorville branch office. I'm here to discuss the proposed revised waste discharge requirements for the Pacific Gas and Electric Company Hinkley Compressor Station. This item is not addressing chromium cleanup. Totally separate. Here is an outline of the topics that I will cover in my presentation tonight. The reason for action is to adopt revised waste discharge requirements for the facility, which will include the construction and operation of two new Class 2 surface impoundments and the continued operation of three existing Class 2 surface impoundments. The surface impoundments contain the blowdown waste from the cooling towers at the Hinkley Compressor Station. Under ambient conditions, this blowdown water could have the potential to impact groundwater and thus must be contained as a designated waste in a California Code of Regulations Title 27 Class 2 surface impoundment. I would like to point out that chromium is no longer added to the process at the station as a corrosion inhibitor. What is currently in the discharge are things such as elevated concentrations of total dissolved solids and salts. Adoption of the waste discharge requirements will include certification of a mitigated negative declaration, which was prepared and circulated in accordance with the California Environmental Quality Act. The facility is located near the corner of Community Boulevard and Fairview in the community of Hinkley. Three surface impoundments are currently in operation at the site. Highway 58 is to the north, and the Mojave River is to the south. And there are the three surface impoundments there at the facility. This photograph is of one of the surface impoundments currently in operation at the site. The two additional surface impoundments are being proposed for additional capacity. Currently, the compressor station needs to operate at a reduced rate in the winter due to low evaporation rates. The addition of two surface impoundments would allow for optimal operation of the compressor station in the winter and would allow for capacity in the event PG&E needs to perform maintenance on the existing surface impoundments, such as this one. The two new surface impoundments are proposed to be constructed in the footprint of former surface impoundments, which have been formally closed here and here. I really want to emphasize that these are not proposed to be installed in the same location as the origin of the chromium plume, which was down here. The chromium plume originated from the discharge of chromium-contaminated wastewater to unlined ponds. These former surface impoundments were lined and were formally closed, and the proposed surface impoundments are going to be lined as well. The former surface impoundments were lined waste management units formerly closed in 1995 and recognized as such in Board Order 6-97-82. This is the depression of one of those former surface impoundments. The Board Order requires soil sampling prior to construction to characterize the existing site and to provide a background against which to compare when the proposed ponds are clean and closed. The proposed surface impoundments will be hydraulically contained, triple lined with two high density plastic liners, a geosynthetic clay liner. These are more conservative and protective than the prescriptive requirements of Title 27. The proposed surface impoundments will be equipped with leachate collection system and lysimeters, and will be able to contain the stormwater from a 1,000-year, 24-hour storm event while maintaining 2 feet of freeboard in accordance with California Code of Regulation Title 27 requirements. The proposed surface impoundments will be monitored in several different ways. Wastewater samples are required to be collected directly from the surface impoundments. The dikes and liners are required to be inspected daily. The leachate collection sumps are required to be inspected weekly. The lysimeters under the leachate collection sumps are required to be inspected quarterly. Groundwater samples are required to be collected from the monitoring wells quarterly. Though no public comments were received in direct response to the tentative waste discharge requirements, comments were received in response to the mitigated negative declaration that pertain to the proposed waste discharge requirements. I'll first address those comments and then discuss the mitigated negative declaration in subsequent slides. The public comments received focus on three main issues: the location of the proposed surface impoundments, the construction, and the monitoring of the surface impoundments. The main concerns expressed were that proposed surface impoundments will be constructed over the area that caused the chromium contamination in groundwater, and that surface impoundments would leak and contribute to further groundwater pollution. As I mentioned earlier, the proposed surface impoundments are not in the same location as the source of the chromium plume. They are proposed to be here, and the source area is here. The former ponds, these ones up here, did not have a history of leakage and were lined facilities that were formerly closed. Provided these surface impoundments proposed before you tonight are constructed and monitored in accordance with the requirements set forth in the proposed revised waste discharge requirements before you tonight, the proposed surface impoundments should not pose a threat to water quality. The Regional Board is the lead CEQA agency pursuant to the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA. Water Board staff and our contractor, ICF International, prepared and circulated an initial study and a mitigated negative declaration for public comment. Potential significant impacts identified included biological and cultural resources, greenhouse gas emissions, noise, transportation, and mandatory findings of significance. Public comments received, other than those discussed earlier, also focused on those potential significant impacts. The ERADA and Mitigation Monitoring and Reporting Program addresses those concerns. The ERADA and Mitigation and Monitoring and Reporting Plan describe how potentially significant impacts as a result of the project will be mitigated to levels of insignificance. Potential impacts to biological resources will be mitigated by having an on-site biologist before and during project construction to implement protection measures for the desert tortoise, burrowing owl, nesting water birds, and other animals if present. Cultural resources are not expected to be present since the site was previously disturbed. However, if cultural resources are discovered, there will be a stop work order and consultation with a qualified professional before work is allowed to continue. Potential impacts from noise and traffic will be mitigated by having construction activities follow county ordinances, which restrict such work to certain days and times, by preventing road blockage from trucks and equipment, and so on. For greenhouse gas emissions, mitigation measures include having the contractors use low emission equipment, reducing idle time of running equipment, following grading plans to move only soil that is necessary for the project, and so forth. Because all potentially significant environmental impacts of the proposed surface impoundments can be reduced to less than significant levels of mitigation measures, the mitigated negative declaration is the appropriate CEQA mechanism. Finding number 33 in the proposed waste discharge requirements states that the mitigated negative declaration, the ERADA, and the mitigation monitoring and reporting plan comply with CEQA by providing adequate environmental protection. In conclusion, regulation of this facility under California Code of Regulations Title 27 is appropriate to ensure the protection of water quality and beneficial uses of waters of the state. Water Board staff recommend adoption of the revised waste discharge requirements for the Pickney and Hinkley Compressor Station. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
First question from board members.
Is there any history of danger to wildlife in what's been put into the existing ponds? And I expect if there hasn't been, there won't be from the new pond.
Not that I'm aware.
Thank you.
I think you indicated that the two new ponds are going to be located on a site where previous ponds had been closed.
Mm-hmm.
Had the soil been sampled at those closed sites in 1995, I think you said?
That data is not available. We believe there was not soil sampling done as a result of the equipment closure, because there's no evidence of leakage in the liner systems.
Okay, thank you.
Peter?
There is a card as well after this.
No. Not right now.
No questions yet. I do have one comment card. Sally Schumann.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, my name is Sally Schumann. I'm a professional civil and environmental engineer with Cardinal Entrix, and I'm speaking on behalf of PG&E, the applicant, for the permit before you tonight. And I represent the project is sponsored by the PG&E Gas Operations Division, and as Brianna mentioned, is separate from this whole remediation issues before you. I want to make a point of why this project is important and essential. And it's really necessary because the existing units are 20 years old. PG&E would like to perform some maintenance on them, which is cleaning out the existing units and placing a third liner system on them. That's a short-term goal, but in the long term, the expansion, the added capacity, gives a lot of allows more flexibility to move water around between the pond units, and in the event of an emergency, allows excess capacity so that any one pond could be empty. Just a couple of important points. The three units out there, 4, 5, and 8, have not had any releases to groundwater in the 20 years they've been operating with the double lining system. And when the maintenance is performed, they'll actually have three lining systems, similar to the new ponds. The wastewater is really salty, as Brianna described, and is non-hazardous. And the next slides really just talk a little bit about the lining systems itself. And I think Brianna's covered that, but I actually brought samples. So when we're done, if you want, well, we can wait till I'm done. But the first layer is made out of high-density polyethylene. It's a very sturdy plastic. The upper layer has nubs on the bottom, as you can see in the picture. The next layer is smooth, and it makes a sandwich, in between which is where the liquid detection, collection, and detection system would close to a sump in any, you know, potential leak. So it's like your first line of defense is this LCRS system between the two layers. The third lining is the geosynthetic clay liner, and that's the very low permeability, actually three orders of magnitude lower permeability than required in the regulations. And it's basically a fabric sandwich with some geotextiles surrounding sodium bentonite, a natural product. Sodium bentonite is like the best thing you can buy for low permeability clay. Brianna did a good job summarizing the monitoring programs in place. It's really a five-tiered system, and as shown on the left side there, it's the wastewater, the pond water, the LCRS system. The betazone lysimeters are sampling on a regular basis underneath the ponds in the dry soil, and then the groundwater monitoring wells. It's a 12 monitoring well network, and we've worked together to expand this program and improve it over what's in the current WDRs. So with that, I'd really just like to ask you on PG&E's behalf to vote to approve the WDRs and the CEQA document for you tonight. Thank you.
First, are there any questions for board members? And I have no speaker cards on this particular item.
There's one comment server from one of the CAC members.
Hi, I'm Lester White, CAC chairman. I wanted to elaborate just a little bit on these ponds. In our community, in the past, well, for the last 60, 70, 80 years, our agricultural farmers used to use these types of impoundments. And it's our belief that these men abandoned these types of ponds because they were inadequate. And they've been using these impoundments for quite some time now, and they're very inadequate because they have caused problems in the past. And they've stated in the comments that there hasn't been any significance to what they're suggesting to do. But our community thinks that there are other technologies or more advanced technologies to hold this type of waste. And one of those technologies are holding tanks. When you use a holding tank, all you have to do is walk up to it, turn a valve, get what you need out of it, and shut the valve back off instead of having it open to the air. And PG&E wants to use this old type of technology of using berms to hold in this thing. And this, we have found out as of recently that there is a fault line next to PG&E station and perhaps maybe even underneath it. And we don't feel that this is an actual safe way to implement these ponds next to a fault line. And in their statement, in their documents, have shown that there is no fault line, they've said, in this area, and there is. We have been proven that through the USGS. And the comment about the endangered species, there was no mention in this document about waterfowl or incoming migratory birds that would... a duck or something of that nature looks for the largest body of water, and this is one of the largest bodies of waters in Hinckley, and they will look for that. But we have no way of studying these migratory birds or these fowl, so there's no way to even study that, because once they land in them, they fly away, and we have no way of really doing this. So these are some of our concerns when it comes to migratory animals. And it just shocked me when they said that there was no soil samples taken here, and I think it's very very boastful to not even take those, and I don't even know how to respond to that. I really don't. We also know that the original in situ pilot testing program was in this area, and if there has been no soil samples taken here, we believe that there needs to be some soil samples taken before anything is implemented in this area. And also, we would like to see a new technology introduced that we can get rid of these ponds. I mean, it's just really a hazard. It really is. And the original in situ program, the testing, pilot testing program that was that used in this certain area, we would like more data. And what we're doing right now is working with the USGS and trying to come up with some data, and we're starting a new program or getting prepared to start a new program. And we would like this to at least be put on hold for a while, or if wait until the EIR is approved and use that as a master EIR and attach this to that, because this here in itself needs an EIR and it hasn't been given one. and I hope I'm saying these in the right terms, but we believe that an EIR does need to be implemented on these new ponds, and if not, we can attach them to the master EIR that's coming up. So we would not like to see these ponds go in right away. We would like to see some study done first. We'd like to see some soil samples taken. And we'd also like to have access to the pilot testing system of this ion exchange, because we do believe that there could be possibly a manganese problem that is generated from this, but we don't have that data yet, so we would like more time on this. So if we can just put this off until after the EIR is approved, we would really highly appreciate it in our community, and so would the board.
Are there any questions, comments from board members? Yes, sir.
Regarding the lack of soil samples, I think it was stated that new testing would be done prior to the construction of the ponds.
Okay. Any more questions?
No more questions from the board. Can I have staff report? Response?
Hi, this is Brianna again. I wanted to elaborate on the earthquake issue. There are traces of faults in the area, and these proposed surface impoundments, their design incorporated the maximum credible earthquake that could happen in that area. They have to be able to withstand that per Title 27 requirements. And so that has already been addressed in the design of the proposed surface impoundments. Soil sampling will be required. The other thing I wanted to add, I'm going to point this out, this is actually a really good picture to show. When the original pond 6 and 7 were closed, there was also a pond 1, 2, and 3, and you can kind of see the outlines of them. And they were all clean closed all at the same time. Representative samples were collected from 1, 2, and 3, and there was no evidence of any release in any of those soil samples that were collected, because there weren't any collected from 6 and 7 for whatever reason. They, you know, it was representative samples already collected, or they're just not available, or whatever the reason may be. There is still soil sampling required in this proposed board order to address that. And then the concerns with anything having to do with the mitigated negative declaration, I believe Lisa can, Dernbach can address those, and I think they were addressing the errata, but she can talk to those a little bit more.
This is Kim. I would just point the board to 3-33 of the environmental checklist, which is 8-133 of your board materials. It has a discussion of the analysis for the earthquake and repeats what Brianna said in terms of that these serpent impoundments have been designed to be able to withstand seismic shaking of a magnitude of 7.5 on the Richter scale.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Lisa Dernbach. I'm a senior engineering geologist with the Water Board's South Lake Tahoe office, and I coordinated the mitigated negative declaration and reviewed the public comments that we received, as well as coordinated the responses with our contractor, ICF International. And I wanted to point out to you that the some of the items that were presented to us by the public that we did not address in the original mitigated negdec, we then corrected and addressed in the errata to the CEQA document, and the errata is enclosure 5 in your packet. So like some items that Mr. White brought up, such as the migratory waterfowl, sometimes they build little nests along the berms of these ponds, and PG&E has a policy where they just give them room. They don't bother them or molest them or anything. And the errata addresses those migratory waterfowl issues. If they see them nesting or whatever, that they'll take care during any kind of construction process. It also addressed some other issues that were brought up by the Department of Fish and Game, now called Fish and Wildlife. And so we included their comments in the errata as well to provide extra protection for the desert tortoise and the burrowing owl and any other species that are encountered during the construction and operation of these ponds.
Questions, comments from board members?
Thank you.
Any further comments from staff? Well,
are we on to board discussion?
Board discussion.
I don't have a problem with this project, and I think I have only one comment, which is that the steel tanks instead of impoundments were mentioned, and it's not a bad idea, except that the purpose of these impoundments is for evaporation. So they really want to be shallow with a wide, with a big surface area. So steel tanks wouldn't really be practical. So anyway, I'll support the action.
Keith, comments?
I appreciate the comments we heard from the public. I think those were well thought out, and however, I think our staff addressed any concerns that may have been raised with me. So I'll make a motion we adopt the revised waste discharge requirements for this project as well as the CEQA document.
Can I comment on that?
There's a motion on the floor. We've closed public comment. Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. And discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous. I'll move on to item 9. This is PG&E.